Deep Dark Night, written by Steph Broadrib and read by Jennifer Woodward.
Prologue. Sure, they knew they shouldn't go down to the basement. It was damp, unsafe, their parents said. And there were rats, a whole bunch of rats. They knew for sure about the rats because they'd seen them with their own eyes. But they'd lived in the neighborhood their whole lives, and the warnings didn't make no difference. The place being off limits that way made them want to go down there even more. Danger was cool, they thought. They were young and wanted adventure and fun is all. Something to give them a break from school and studying and exams and the tension at home, the anger and the resentment, the frustration and fights. And it was huge down there in the basement, a dark space that stretched out the whole way under their apartment building, maybe a whole lot further. They wanted to explore it all, see what was hidden down there in the far corners, inside the moldy cardboard boxes and shielded underneath those thick plastic-covered stacks. They broke in all the time, picked the lock if they had to. It was all a part of the thrill. This one time, though, something was different. They smelled it first. Sometimes when they opened the door to the basement and stepped inside, it just smelled of damp cardboard and old stale air. Every now and again, there'd be something else, bleach or some kind of chemicals, a dead rat, a garbage sack forgotten and left to fester rather than getting put out with the rest of the trash. From time to time, when they left, they'd leave behind the aroma of the mellow smoke from their joints, or the smell of young bodies experimenting with sex for the first time. But on that day, the smell was different, and instinctively, a primal sense within them told them it was bad. Still, they didn't turn back because, well, curiosity, you know? The five of them huddled closer together. The one with the nickname Hawk in the front and the one they called Looky at the back. And they kept on going, scanning the dark void of the basement with their flashlights. No one wanted to be the one to suggest they turn back. Every step further, the smell got stronger, acrid. It clogged in their throats and made their eyes water. And as it did, they figured it was more than one smell. It was like skidding tires and bonfires and bacon all mixed up together, but not in a good way. They found him a few steps later. He was on his knees, hands roped behind his back. His blackened lips were wide, his contorted face twisted mid-scream. An old tire had been hung around his neck. It had gotten damaged by the fire, but it was still intact. The man hadn't fared so well. He was dead. They could tell that much for sure. Nobody could have survived. But who he was beneath the burnt, blackened flesh, that they couldn't tell, at least not right then, anyways. Looky vomited. One of the girls started crying. The rest of them just stood and stared and didn't know what to do. Hawk, always the bravest of the group, took a few steps closer, said they needed to call the cops, give a description, do the right thing. The others were just about to agree. Then Hawk began to scream.